they keep from dancing when songs they play. And how can anybody keep from prancing? We should be gay.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. We are continuing with our men's room guest, Wayne Levine, who is going to fill in for Pastor Drew Sams, who is at an annual pastor's luncheon today and normally joins us for Teen Wrap. Wayne Levine is a life coach for men, couples, and families, the director of BetterMen.org in Agoura Hills, California. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
It is good, and you are on a landline, so I can actually, I don't know if this is good or bad, I can actually hear every word you're going to say.
I've landed, and I hope we've kept the listeners through that terrible ordeal of cell phone reception, and we're moving on.
Plus, some of them had to hear the commercial for your book.
Hey, listen, it's a great book, and it's a great place to start for men who want to be better men and husbands. Back to you, Bruce.
What is the name of that book again?
Hold On to Your Nuts, The Relationship Manual for Men, and NUTS stands for Non-Negotiable Unalterable Terms, and you can learn more at BetterMen.org. Now back to you, Bruce.
Okay, I would like your thoughts on my column of the week, which is Parenting Tips, Lessons Learned from the Poor But Happy. And it was inspired by all that I saw when I went to Southeast Asia recently and witnessed incredible poverty, but also incredible joy. And we, of course, live in a relatively affluent, if not totally affluent, society here in America. And I know myself and you are certainly blessed in many ways. And our children, in many ways, are, I think, not as aware as they should be of the rest of the world and how lucky they are. And that was the drift of this article. And I would like your thoughts on that, especially as it relates to teenagers. Am I correct that your youngest boy is no longer a teen, or is he just about to leave that?
You are correct that he is no longer a teen.
He is just 20?
He is.
Okay, so you've just left that realm with your daughter being the older one. So what thoughts might you have on this subject, please?
Well, you know, I actually went someplace else when I was reading your article, you know, just in terms of how we value money and how money we also often believe is the solution to our problems. And as you saw on your trip, that it wasn't, money did not equate with joy.
Absolutely not. I think the only time money affects happiness is when you're in absolute dire straits and you can't, say, feed yourself.
Right.
Other than that, I think all you have to do is read any biography of the rich and famous and realize how miserable most of them are.
Yes. And so we're dealing with some men who are not making a lot. They're getting by. They're surviving. And they think that if they can just make $5,000, $10,000, $15,000 more a month, or whatever it is, that it will solve their problems. But when we talk to them, they soon realize that even when they were making that kind of money years ago, you know, before they ventured off into their entrepreneurial effort,
or suffered a job loss,
right? They were no happier than they are now, and so they realize that. And the truth is that there's something else going on. Almost always, 99.9% of the time, the answer is never money. Now, getting more money will make things better, but getting to a place where you can make more money has a lot to do with looking at your own self-esteem, looking at issues that you're wrestling with, that you've been wrestling with for decades, and resolving them. And in this case, and in many cases, it's about relationships with fathers and repeating old habits until they really look at what happened, what they learned, and that they're not their fathers, and that they can be their own men.
Regarding money, I have a saying and a expression that I've often used, which is I call it the 20% rule. And the way it works is as follows. Whatever amount of money you have or make, or whatever budget you have to buy something like a house, what you really want is 20% more. And it's just an arbitrary number. So if the house budget you have is $100,000 for a house, you're going to find the ones you really want to buy are $120,000, $125,000. And if, say, it was a $500,000 house budget you had, you're only happy with the $600,000 ones. And I think that's an example of just setting yourself up for disappointment when you make arbitrary values to money and your happiness.
Well, which sort of proves that point that it's really not about the money. It's not about what you have. And unfortunately, in our culture, we're so supported into believing that what we have equates with happiness. And although there's a lot of effort and there's a lot of books and people talking about the, you know, the fact that that's not true, we are so inundated with marketing and advertising that it's a daily battle, I think, to stay centered and to stay focused and to know what the truth really is for you.
I agree completely. Among the many things I saw on my trip, I think the poorest country I went to was Cambodia. And we went to a temple, and there were a bunch of beggar kids. And I ignored the advice of our guide, and I actually gave one of the girls some of the change I had because I wasn't going to be able to use it. We were leaving. And the joy on her face after I did that, not to mention the almost physical attack I got from the rest of the kids, was really astonishing. She gave me a smile like I haven't seen on my boys who have so much, and she had so little, that it really was striking to me. And then later when we visited Vietnam and saw the amazing throngs of motorcycles throughout the streets, often with four occupants. They're allowed legally to have two adults and two kids, all of them, most of them wearing masks to not inhale all the fumes. I remember one day we were stopped at a light, and in front of me were dozens, hundreds, thousands of these motorcycles, including one woman. I have no idea how old she was, but she was old. And she was pushing a bicycle that had some makeshift, you know, carrying thing on it. It was loaded with, I have no idea, materials, food, all sorts of things. And she was pushing this bike through this dense motorcycle traffic. And I looked at her, and I realized, wow, this is her life. And I have no right to ever complain about anything, including the criticisms and the harsh words I get from you on a regular basis. So it was very sobering to see all those people and to see that one lone woman struggling under her heavy load in this amazing, dense motorcycle traffic.
Yeah. Well, you know, you mentioned in your article that these experiences can cause, you know, some false humility and you know, and all that, and that it's hard to it's hard for these experiences to stick with you. But it's like so many people back home who are constantly comparing themselves to somebody else or their neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
Men do this all the time.
And why do we always compare ourselves with someone who's better off than us when so many are worse?
Right. Well, because we have our own demons, and we have a lot of negative self-talk, and we believe that we can be better, we should be better, we should have known, we should be able to do, et cetera, et cetera.
One of the things I've learned from men's work with you is by being with a group of men that are honest, we often realize we are, number one, not alone, and that our pile of you-know-what is not necessarily as bad as his. And by men being honest with each other, it helps a lot versus putting on some kind of bravado and pretending that they're something that they're not.
Yes, but we all have a pile, and for us, it's our pile, our challenges, our pain, our guilt, our shame, our fears, and it doesn't matter in the end what the details are. But most men, if they're honest, they share that space that they're all struggling. There's work that needs to be done, and some of them step up to the plate to do it, and others never have the courage to do so. But when you do, then you can actually get to a place where you stop comparing yourself to someone else. I mean, you know, since I'm in Pastor Drew's segment, I mean, we're talking about a very spiritual topic here. It really is about connecting to one's spiritual path and their meaning and you know, what their life is about and their higher purpose. I mean, you do this work and you get beyond the material, you can actually start finding out what your purpose in life is all about.
Very well said, Wayne. We are out of time. Doing two segments with you is actually been quite a joy. I thank you very, very much. And please remind our listeners where they can contact you should they want to, and again, where they can buy your book.
Yes. Bettermen.org. You can find out all about us. You can pick up a copy of the book there, and you can find out about our men's retreat annually in the Santa Barbara area that's happening September 23rd.
Terrific. Wayne, thank you so much. It was really a pleasure to talk with you next week.
Right. Thanks, Bruce.
Okay. It's time for another break. Coming up is Family Financial Matters with Jim Scheinberg of North Pier Fiduciary Management. This is Bruce Salen of The Bruce Salen Show, A Dad's Point of View.
Je n'ai vraiment plus rien à faire.